Okay, a very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Before we go into our next program, which is morning chanting followed by reflection. Just now, a few Kainamita was with me. They asking some questions. I think it's useful for the rest to also develop understanding and learn. So, Xiuping, can you repeat your question? The mic, pass the mic to her. Because by asking, you can learn. If you don't ask, you don't learn. Okay. Press, just press the button until the light come out.
This is pressed. It's on.
Is it the battery on?
The battery here.
Oh, off on.
That one is mine from my unit.
No, this one is.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where is the other mic?
There.
No.
No. Use the other one first. Use the other one first. Okay. Super.
Okay, thank you.
Now you can ask the same question.
Hopefully not a silly question.
No, don't worry about the question. Nothing is silly or right or wrong. Forget about all this. Ask is to develop understanding. That's why questions are useful. But don't be conditioned by all the thing that you already learned through knowledge. Then that knowledge keep on questioning, unending. And that one is a danger. But if you really ask and you listen, then you become different. But if you ask and don't listen because you are so habitual, keep on wanting to ask questions. After this, people answer, you didn't listen properly. Then you continue your question. That one is bad. That one is dangerous. Understand? Like just now when you started, I slow you down. I say, listen. You are not listening. Before I can continue with further answer, she already come out with another question. So that one, you have to observe mindfully inside. That this is not the way to inquire. You inquire means you sincerely want to understand. Then after you ask, you listen. Understand? Whether that person understand or not, from the answer, you will know. If that person don't understand, then no point asking further questions. If that person understand, you will listen attentively, then you will learn. Then your question is gone. That's why I told a lot of Kayamita. In fact, a lot of Kayamita finally realized. Initially, they got a lot of questions. Keep on asking. Last night, Yun Chan started also saying, left and right, every now and then, question here and there. Then later on, when she developed the understanding, no more question. Do you know why no more question? Because it's self-answered. When he starts to investigate, he starts to listen. Then from the listening, he understands, he investigates. The question is gone. Self-answer. Question comes from your thought. When you understand your thought, the question ceases to be. Understand? There is a creation by the thought through what? Your mental hindrance of doubt. You're not sure. So this is how the mind, through its mundane thinking, operates. Then sometimes it becomes a habit. You keep on wanting to ask questions because you are so habitual. To you is you want knowledge, and you want to listen to answer that suit what you have heard before. Then you believe, oh, you also understand. But when people answer you in a way that you haven't heard before, then you are not listening at all. Then you keep on asking, That's why you won't learn. To learn is to attentively listen. Whether that person understands or not, if you attentively listen, you will know. Why I can know all the things that you all ask before you all even continue my nature? I gone through all this long time ago. and I have taught for 30 over years. And within these 30 over years, so many people came to me and they all caught in what most of you all are caught in. The mundane thinking, the memory, the thought process. Because you are seldom aware, you cannot investigate, you are not listening. Okay? So hopefully with that, you will develop the attentive listening. Listen more. Then after you listen, if you really still cannot understand, ask. But before you listen, you already want to ask. Means what? You are not listening at all. So the person who answer you also like wasting time as yourself. You will never learn. So that particular understanding need to go in. Otherwise you won't change. You continue to be what you are. You are so conditioned with the questioning. To you, you want to ask questions because you want knowledge. You are not seeking wisdom and understanding. If you are seeking wisdom and understanding, you will reflect on what is being said. Then find out, investigate like the Buddha. The Dhamma is ehipaseko. It stands up to investigation. And how you investigate? You cannot go and think about it, understand? You cannot go about analyzing it through the thought or reasoning it through the thought. You have to silence your mind to understand. Maybe you ask your question first, then I answer, then you will understand. Okay? Okay? This will help you and all other people. You say when you meditate, press.
There's no light.
Oh, no light. Use the other mic. The mic.
Okay.
Test.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
Right. So I roughly tell you how I meditate. So normally I try to. Hello. Yeah. I relax my body and then sort of aware of whichever part of my body, aware of where sort of is a pressure on or discomfort. Okay. And also aware of thoughts.
Maybe I help you to recall what your question is. Yes. You mentioned a lot of things until about space between thought, you remember?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You said you are able to be aware of your thought, like this thought is keep on arising, cannot. Like,
Okay.
You cannot do anything to it. That thinking like continue to arise, then mental formation and all those things, they keep on arising. So you...
So so I have no thinking, so no, I silence my mind, but there are thoughts, whatever memories or feelings that come in, and then I'm aware of it. Okay, at the beginning, all this may be a lot, sort of fully packed all of my awareness, but if given time, slowly all this will subside, and then my so I can see more of my silent mind. And then all these memory or thoughts, whatever, mundane mind slowly subside, and then the gap between them are getting bigger and bigger. I can see the space between them. Yeah.
Okay. What is your question?
My question is, the space I can see between them, is this more of a consciousness?
That is your question?
Yeah.
Okay. You see, a lot of the things that sisters you being described is from the thought process. It's still thought based. It's not awareness. He said the space between thoughts he can see is the thought seeing another thought. That is not awareness. When you have awareness, your question will not be like that. Your description of what you see will not be what you describe. So all this is what they call thought based approach to meditation. So what happened to you is, when you say you try to meditate, because you don't understand what is meditation, So let me go into it now. What is meditation? Like I said, the Buddha's emphasis is what? Heedfulness. Remember? Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So what we have to understand is, what is heedfulness? So that we can train our mind to be heedful. Then all these questions will subside, no more. And how did I train you all with the four support? If you do this, all those things that she goes through, which is thought-based approach, will not happen. So what happened to them is, they force themselves to sit. That's why he said initially, wow, like a lot of thought. A lot of whatever, memory, thinking, and all those things, non-stop. Then, the mind that is not trained, like the Buddha said, the untrained mind is heedless. What is heedless? Think a lot. Wonder of. Not within the moment. Not aware. That's why this heedless thinking is so habitual. That's why you cannot settle down. Then what you do is you force yourself to sit. Then, because you force yourself to sit, after a long time, the mind becomes tired. Then the thinking also becomes slightly less because you already forced to sit. And most of the time, you are actually dozing off, lapse into the unconscious. That is what you call unconscious moment or subconscious moment where you rest your mind, and the normal people call it resting to sleep. So you actually rested, and because of that, you realize your thinking slow down. You have less. Then you have slightly more peace within. Then you think, that is what people say, space within thought and all things. But your thoughts are still actively describing, doing all those things. And this is what I call thought-based approach to meditation. Then every time you want to sit, you have to go through that whole process again. Why? We are in the midst of the other time when you are not in the retreat or formal meditation or training. You live the life of a normal Buddhajana that don't have the mindfulness and the understanding. You become heedless, understand or not? Your sense experience, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, you stir your mind. You react to sense experience, creating like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, sensual desire and evil, the mental hindrance. Even your aversion, your fear, your phobia, all these are the mind state, mental states. Then your restlessness of mind, you are not aware. And because of that, Krishnamurti say, your life is in disorder. You know what is disorder? The Buddha say heedless, disorder, means no order. No order means what? You are in a state of disorder, means chaos, understand not? Riot, everything go wrong. So when you don't have order, means you are not heedful, you are not in charge. The mind do what it like. That's why you have no control. It's just like playing any game, badminton or whatever. If you are skillful, train until you are very aware, mindful, skillful, then you can decide where to return your shuttlecock. You want it to go baseline, you go baseline. You want it to go net, you go net. It listens to you, understand not? But when you meditate, how come the mind doesn't listen to you? Thought arise and pass away, like non-stop. The heedless flow of what they call memory, thought process, all of the mind states, mainly from memory. Your thought is respond to memory. So you keep on creating that stream of mental concoction inside there. We call it Sankara Sanya. perceive think, perceive think, perceive react, stir. So that concording inside that sankhara activity is the cause of heedless thinking. So understanding that is very important. Then only you can ask yourself, why did the Buddha say I must train myself to be heedful? And what is heedfulness? Under Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha says there are two parts to be heedful. So heedfulness is defined by Dhammapada verse 23. So this one is Dhammapada verse 23. Huh? Oh yeah, yeah, sorry. This one is Chinese. Yeah, thank you. So heedfulness, according to Dhammapada verse 21, he say, the ever mindful, constantly meditative and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So what is ever mindful? Plus, constantly meditative. This is what the Buddha wants you to learn, most important. So to be ever mindful, you have to at first train yourself to be mindful person. True or not? So train yourself to have mindfulness means sati equals mindfulness. Equals awareness. Like I said, all these are words, can be confusing, and if you don't have the understanding, it doesn't help you. So, to be mindful, you have to train yourself to be mindful, which is to be in the state of sati, then you stabilize it, understand? Then you can become ever mindful, means throughout the day, ever mindful. Constantly meditative means constantly using it to contemplate the Dhamma and to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So how to train yourself to develop sati or mindfulness or awareness? To do it, you have to understand what is sati. But from the Theravada tradition you will learn, very few people dare to define what sati is. They use the word mindfulness. What is this English word? Tupat, isn't it? Mind in fullness. But they never tell you full of what. If your mind is full of thought, restless, that is not mindfulness, understand not? Here, they can't find a suitable word, that's why they say mind in fullness. Means fully attentive or aware, understand not? But they never tell you full of what? Full of thought and heedless thinking, understand not? So you all gullibly, hey, mindfulness, I got mindfulness, I was mindful. But you don't know what that thing is. Then sometimes they say, yeah lah, I mindful means I aware lah. You think it's the same word, isn't it? Then people in the Satipatthana workshop, you know, I heard in the recording, the question asked by the participant, you know, aware of what? And the teacher that teach, gullibly go and answer, you know, aware of what and all those things. So when you don't understand, you end up like that. You have to define what is sati, or what is mindfulness, or what is awareness. So to me, the best way, the easiest way is to do it, to understand it. So to me, sati is mindfulness, but is an awareness before the knowing. So this mindfulness is without thought. So this one is, so sati is awareness before the knowing. So how do you know things? Huh? What is this knowing? The rupang, Buddha image, my voice. How do you know it? It comes from what? Ah, learning is common English. It comes from the ability of the mind to have the aggregate to perceive. Understand not? You perceive through your seeing consciousness, the Buddha image. You perceive through my voice, the hearing consciousness. That is the power of mind to perceive. That's why the Buddha subdivide the mind to four aggregates. The mind can feel, can perceive. That's why Xianhua used the word cognition. When I perceive, I recognize. Understand? That's why it's cognition. It's the same word. So, if awareness before the knowing is before the perception and the arising of thought. Well, the moment you perceive through sankhara, your memory, your conditioning, your belief system, you straight away react and stir. Well, when you perceive, you will describe it and so. Then you will have craving, like or dislike, pleasant or unpleasant. Then your mental habitual tendency will come in and do all those activities, which is heedless thinking. So to be aware is not to arise the perception, if you can. But the moment you perceive, you know, understand not? And when you know, you cannot stop, because you are not mindful. Your mindfulness is not stable. You don't have the inner awareness to be with the moment of perception. So what happens is, perception together with the feeling, condition, craving, reaction, like and dislike, everything moves, paticca-samuppada, very fast. So if you don't understand this, then what are you doing in the name of meditation? You say, I practice mindfulness. Who practice? Huh? Who practice mindfulness? The thought is trying to practice mindfulness. So they note thinking, thinking, thinking. Pain, pain, pain. Sleepy, sloth, and topper. So drowsiness, all the way. So they labor, they labor. Then later on they realize wrong. They say don't labor. Don't use the word. Then they note. Don't labor, but you note. What do you note? Again, the thought is active. As far as thought is active, you can never be in the state of mindfulness or awareness. Do you understand? But to be aware is an awareness nature before even the aggregate of mind come out to perceive or tell story, create thinking. Like I said, as a human being, we can only do one thing at a time, at any moment. Whether you are within this moment, completely aware, means no thought, true or not, then I can be aware. But if I am lost in thought, preoccupied with what I am thinking, how can I be aware? Understand not? Like you attend a class, your teacher teaching, then you wander off with the thought process, you were daydreaming. You are not paying attention. So when you are not paying attention, you are not aware. You are creating heedless thinking, lost in thought. That's why when the teacher suddenly observes that you are not paying attention, he points the finger at you. Hey, what are you doing? You caught. You panic. So attention is when you pay attention and don't think, that is awareness. But you pay attention and think, that is not awareness. You understand? So coming back to Xiu Ping's question, if he continue to do what she do, thought-based approach to try to understand meditation, then she end up describing all those things the way she described, and she still think that is meditation. Because to me, that is not really meditation. Well, meditation, as the Buddha has already defined under the fourth noble truth, you cultivate the noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And that is the meditation, noble eightfold path. And to meditate, the Buddha said you must have heedfulness. Ever mindful of all, means throughout the day, you know, ever mindful of all, means your mindfulness must be very stable. You know. This spiritual faculty must become unshakable until it becomes balanced. So you have to stabilize this. To be ever mindful, you have to stabilize sati. Means, you have to train yourself to be mindful first, to be aware. I already taught you. Relax, maintain awareness, stabilize this awareness. Technically, 24-hour awareness. Sati means mindfulness. Don't try to know, don't try to think. This is to avoid the thought from arising. You understand? When you relax into it, when you are relaxed, there is no thought, no duality, no mind state. That's how you can relax. No tension, no stress, no problem. So relaxing is very important. Then when you relax, your natural mind will return. Because this is your natural state of mind, the true mind before the stirring, the reaction, before you create all the mind state. Like when you get angry, means what? You see something you don't like, then recall through memory, you react and stir and you develop the anger. And the anger is a byproduct of the wrong thought, that's not dependent originating. But it comes and it goes. How can it go? As long as you hold on to the anger, you will not go. But when you relax, you don't think, the anger will cease. That's why this is the third way to meditate. Relax and maintain awareness. You remember the third way? Don't do anything. Aware. Stay with all the mind state that arise. Then you realize it all dissipates. Cease to be. Anger also cease to be. Fear also cease to be. Insecurity, whatever. Then you develop the inner peace. The inner tranquility is still. Means the mind that stirs has actually developed the ability to return to its original state of tranquility, stillness and awareness before the stirring, before the reaction of mind. And that is your true mind, your silent mind. So you do this to realize your true mind, your silent mind. And this is meditation. But you go and do all the funny method, technique and all the so-called skillful means and complicate the whole thing because you don't understand all this. When you understand all this, finally you return to all this. Whatever mind state arises, don't worry. Like the memory, the thought process, whatever comes. This is all the conditioning to your heedless living, your habitual tendency. That's why you think a lot. That's why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Well, when you are like that, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be aware. If you are not able to be mindful and aware, how can you be ever mindful? Then definitely you'll be heedless, and the heedless are still dead. So first thing first, develop mindfulness. I already taught you, if you are familiar with the old way, you want to start there again, go ahead, no problem. But maintain the understanding that you are there to develop mindfulness, like anapanasati, mindful, until the mind enters sati. So finally, you will return back to all this. So instead of doing all those funny things, go one big round and come back, why not you straight away do this? Well, this is what Hui Ning teach, the six patriarch. Take you direct to the true mind, the silent mind, which is the inner awareness. So the moment you are here, relax, you are here. And this is your true mind. Understand now? Because this is your awareness nature. So this is your true mind. Awareness nature. And this awareness nature is not a being, not a thought, it's just a nature. And this one is also your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. So now, after you have this understanding, all your questions will be gone. Do you see? Where the question comes from, not understanding what is deep. Everything that you do in the name of meditation is actually thought after thought process. We call it thought-based approach. When thought is active, you cannot be aware, you cannot be mindful. Because this one is before the knowing, before the arising of thought, before even the perception. Like the baby, see things as they are, understand or not? There is no memory for them to know what the thing is, because their memory is a clean slate, nothing. But you grew up so conditioned, you learn so much thing, that's why they say, knowledge by, that is the meaning. So in Mahayana, they got a very beautiful phrase of, 所知障, you heard of it, or not? Everything that you know is an obstruction to learning Dhamma, to understanding Dhamma. So, 所知障. The other one is 烦恼障. Worry is also an obstruction to learning Dhamma. Whatever you know, knowledge, is also an obstruction to learning Dhamma. That's why what did I teach you? Don't try to repeat this word. Don't try to know means what? I don't want to know. That's it. Finish. If I don't want to know, I cannot think. Either. That's why aware, finish. Aware, finish. Most people aware, perceive, think, stir, react, then lost in thought. Can't you just aware, finish? Decondition the healer's thinking and develop the realization of this awareness nature within, the true understanding. So do it, like I told you, Ping Dao. People tell you sugar is sweet, but luckily most of us taken sugar before, isn't it? So we know what that thing is. But if you have not taken sugar before, you will be guessing what that thing is, isn't it? Sweet, what you mean by sweet? That's why you must taste it. The understanding is in the actual tasting of it, understand? That's why Dhamma is to be realized, not through knowledge. Means the direct seeing, seeing things as they are. Understand? Then insight into phenomena to awaken. Insight means with the awareness, the silent mind, the awareness nature. You don't do anything, you just stay there. That movement, the activity creates the understanding. That's why you insight into the three universal characteristics that you see within nature. Every moment, every instant, all phenomena exhibit the same universal characteristic. Because that movement exhibit the characteristics of impermanence. If you attach and cling and want things your way, you suffer. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity, that's why it's anatta, non-self, empty, not real, not what you think, like what we went through in the Heart Sutra. Form is dependent originating, condition arising, unreal. Not only the block card, everything you come to perceive is the same. Like this table, I ask you, is it real? Queenie yesterday tried. So of course, if you use the perception, the normal mundane mind to perceive, then what happens? You look at it at the form level, then it's like real, understand or not? Real. Exists already. But how did this table arise? Like my voice, how did it arise? Your seeing consciousness, The moment you open your eye, the whole field of vision become like real, exists already within your seeing consciousness. You are the greatest magician. Straight away arise already. Like this table. How did it arise? Of course, through science, through what you observe in daily life. This table, you need somebody to gather the raw material, carpenter to do it up, or a factory to manufacture it, then somebody sell, then maybe the temple acquire it, or somebody bought and donate it to a temple. So all these are the causes and conditions for it to arise. Understand? Without all these causes and conditions, this table will not be here. It will not be in existence. That's why this table, even though you see externally like very solid, real, but the way it arises is dependent originating, conditional, like the block. When the part comes together, when the condition fall into place, it perform a function, you give it a name, then it arises, it exists already. Then you say real. What is real? What is unreal? Perceivable by you, you say real. Not perceivable, you say unreal. Like let's say a moving car. Far away, you cannot hear. You say no vibration, no car. But come near, you hear the vibration, oh, car exists. But after it passed by, no longer within your hearing range, to you, it doesn't exist anymore. But to somebody further out, is as real as it is. That's why real or unreal depend on your senses. Because you depend on your senses to make decision. Whatever that is beyond your sixth sense door, you cannot understand. So awareness is different. Awareness is beyond the senses, beyond thought, beyond mind. It can have the ability to be aware of the entire oneness. You don't need condition for it to arise. Like I shared with you yesterday, when you are within a very quiet moment, when everything is so still, so quiet, no sense data to trigger of hearing consciousness, who is the one that is aware of this silence within nature? Silence don't have vibration in it, don't have sense data in it, like my voice, I need the vibration that I create for you to hear through your hearing consciousness. Silent don't have sense data, no. If no sense data means it's not dependent originating, you know, no? Then who is the one inside there that can be aware of this silence? It's your true mind, your essence of mind. That is your awareness nature. That one is very powerful. That one don't need condition for it to develop the awareness. But most of the time, living beings who are not cultivated of the way with awareness cannot understand this. Because you are all the time, 99.999%, lost in thought. You're hardly aware, hardly mindful, not to say ever mindful. So can follow, you may. So be patient, like I say. Try, do until it comes. Then like sugar, you taste, you understand. Then all your questions gone. Then you do with understanding. That's the tea become very easy. You no need to like what you think they all go through the top. You're, wow, I got to sit down half an hour, 1 hour, only settle down. Then only experience some form of quietness, peacefulness. If they cannot do that, they focus, they concentrate, they force the thought not to think, not to run. And that is one pointedness. That is energy field, jhana. Then you can become very calm, very still. But it's not a free mind. All the mental hindrances are suppressed, yet it cannot come up. And that is not what the Buddha wants. That's why he went through all the jhana from the first two teachers, and he told them, this is not what I want. They invite him to, on same platform, teach. He said, no, this is not what I want. But what he wants is to realize the wisdom that can enable him to understand that the problem he saw when he left the palace can be resolved. The four signs that he saw, you remember? A sick man, an old man, and a dead man. Then he asked the attendant, what is this? He said, as a human being, sooner or later we will get old. One day, we will be diseased, very sick. Then finally we die. And straight away he knew, I have big problem. But I cannot handle all his sickness and death. Even the father gave him the four palaces of the four seasons. All this pleasure is transient, not real. When I grow old, I cannot have the answer to overcome all his sickness. And finally, I must die. So all the jhana, the beautiful mind state experience of meditation, doesn't solve his problem. That's why he continued to meditate underneath the Bodhi tree. Then when the time comes when he connects, you know what he realized? He break free because he realized dependent originating, paticca samuppada. He realized that the form and mind doesn't belong to him, not him. That's why his problem no more. Who get old, who get sick, who die? The physical, not him. Then he realized the consciousness and the physical and the life form, they are the three conditions that animate this form and mind. That's why I described to you karmically conditioned out for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to go through karmic process and cultivation of those things. He realized this, the mystery solved, his problem also solved. Understand now? He realized another. Form and mind, not him. That's why he teach you all the Four Noble Truths, the final summary is all about that. And to realize that, you must have mindfulness, awareness, to see all this. Not using your thought to rationalize, to analyze, to come up with knowledge, thinking you know. And a lot of people make this mistake. After they like develop some understanding, they thought this is wisdom realization, they try to commit to memory. Understand? They say, I must not forget. If I forget, I lose my knowledge or I lose my wisdom. So every time he want to act, he go to memory. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Your memory got a lot of rubbish. You must act according to wisdom. And this wisdom can only arise when you are with the true mind awareness to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, to realize the awakening. Otherwise you can't. So the moment you insight into phenomena, the moment you observe and realize the paticca samuppada, the universal characteristic, you will no longer be deluded. Then this understanding, which is wisdom, will stay in your form and mind, because it's connected. Then no need to remember. When you confront anything, this one will give rise to understanding. And this is what the Buddha called yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Because you awaken to it already, it will come out. It will tell you, sabbe sankara anicchang, you will not cling, you will not grow. Sabbe sankara dukkang, you will not cling, you will not grow. Sabbe dhamma anatta, not what you think. So straight away you're free. Then rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. Vedana anicchang, vedana anatta. Sanya anicchang, sanya anatta. Then sankara anicchang, sankara anatta. Vijnana anicchang, vijnana anatta. This is what the teaching is. This is what the Buddha wants you to realize. And you can only realize it with sati, mindfulness and awareness. No other way. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful devata. So train yourself to be heedful. To be heedful, you must be ever mindful. So develop sati first. Either go through this for support, or whatever you do, develop mindfulness. Don't deviate, don't go into one-pointedness and all those nonsense. Mindfulness, until your mind becomes very quiet, very still, and the mind enters sati, then you do your four foundation of mindfulness. Aware of the four posture, sati sampajana, aware of every action, every movement, even this retreat. If you can do that, you will definitely be whole. The Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So the moment you heed this heedfulness, you're already home. Then why are you waiting? Why are you still doing all the funny meditation? You realize or not, whatever they teach you to do is not to come back to develop heedfulness. It's to develop the meditative experience, the fantastic meditation. And you think that is enlightenment. You go and try. Because a lot of the meditative experience, they are conditioned mind state. Sometimes it can be very beautiful, like the jhanic factor, piti, sukhang, then equanimity, one-pointedness, all those things, energy, very strong, psychic. I mean, you can experience a lot of interesting things, but that is not wisdom. That is just mind state. You might as well go and take an ecstasy pill and feel more high, then more excited, understand? But then you know it's a drug, you become addicted to it, understand? You think all the jhana they do is not a drug. After that, they keep on wanting that experience to be repeated, you know? No? When they grow old, when they lose their ability to enter jhana, they become miserable. But they cannot understand the eight reality or the first noble truth. So cultivation means understanding. Okay?
Sa.
Okay. Yeah. So what time already? I heard the timekeeper's time went off. Okay. Never mind. We come back to what we're supposed to do. Okay. After morning chanting, we're supposed to have 45 minutes of meditation. Okay. Now already almost half an hour already. Okay. You can do your meditation now. Yeah? So based on what I explained, try it. Yeah? Do it. You can do your walking, your bowing, whatever that can train you to develop mindfulness, do it. Like I say, if you find sitting very difficult, problematic, forget about sitting. Go for a walk. Go for a nice, peaceful walk. Now that itself is awareness. Every movement aware. Every action aware. Every moment of perception aware. Like the Buddha said, standing aware. Seeing aware. Bending, turning, stretching aware. Understand? So relax. Peaceful. You can walk here, or you can walk outside, or you can go up to the hill and come back before 5:30. But we got a timetable, so don't get excited until 5:30. Okay, off the light. No, the gate closed very early. No. 9 to 10 meditation. 9 to 10 meditation. So now we meditate until 10 o'clock. You got 30 minutes. Huh? So make full use of this 30 minutes to really meditate. Develop your ability to relax and maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax deep into it. Until your mind returns to its original state of tranquility and stillness without thought. Okay?